I rejoice in being a part of this great time today. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into something powerful, something very gracious, something loving, something tender, something that has gripped our hearts. Good to see you all. Great to share with you this morning. I just want to say it's wonderful to be developing in friendship and in great developments for the kingdom of God here in the Shofar Church. As Amo stated, I come here on Sunday nights, and I get lost in this place. It's so nice just to sit back and just absorb what God is doing, and just be able to get out there and be engaged in what is mainly the younger generation. It reminds me of when I was ministering to a bunch of hippies back in the 1970s in the city of Cape Town. My goodness, those are pretty heady days. And there was a powerful thing that was happening amongst the hippies, and they asked this crazy yank to come and be their full-time pastor. So here I come. I was short-shaven and going bald, as I am already, and they asked me to come and minister to all these hippies. I tell you what, it was a great period of time, and it was just great to see the kind of excitement and the development that was happening, and the effect that's had for the kingdom of God over the years. And it's exciting to see what's happening in Shofar right here in George. It's exciting. I generally don't like using that word, but I get excited. As old as I am, I do get excited, and I like what I see happening, what God is doing here, and what God is raising up in the midst of this church. Glad for my friendship with Amo that has been developing, and just been getting stronger and stronger. And I just want to thank God for him and his family. I want to thank God for Shofar as a church. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And I honor you, church, for the way that you become engaged with Life Community Services and are getting more and more engaged. Thank you for coming out next week. I hope there's a mob out there, because there's a lot of kids that are coming along. Amo talked about the way that we're feeding 1,500 kids a day. That equates to about 45,000 kids per month, or 45,000 meals per month. And it's just getting more and more critical, the role that life is playing. But we've always said that the food issue is always the serendipity. It is not the main thrust. I've always said if people were to see that the solution to our problems were of a social nature, we'd have dealt with our problems long time ago. But there's a deeper thing that's involved. Amen? That thing is called real transformation that has to do with the spiritual part of man, and until the attitude change comes about, there is not going to be very much that is going to be negotiated, because it's necessary to see that the spirit has got to be changed. Then we can change the physical and the mental and all the other stuff. But there has to come a decision to follow after Jesus. Amen? That's the bottom line. Well, A long time ago, somebody told me, you need to write a book about what's happening with Life Community Services. So I did. And it was published about, self-published about 10 years ago. I made about 500 copies and I took them all over the world. And it's called Soaring Like Eagles. Soaring Like Eagles. That's the name of the book. And some of the points that we're going to be talking about this morning are coming from out of there. As a matter of fact, looking at Leon, Leon's company was the one that published this book. So thank you very much. It was absolute blessing. But I think we need to put a setting here in God's Word. But I think what I need to do first is to get rid of this jacket because I'm getting warm already. Yeah, so let's get into something. I want to talk this morning on three words. No more poverty. No more poverty. And I want to take you to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 15. Incidentally, I want to apologize that my dear wife is not here. But she and her colleague and our friend Sally have gone off for 5 days of planning for 2017. And 2017 is coming up very quickly. And it's going to be a very significant year on planet Earth. I promise you. And we need to get our hearts ready for what is going to be breaking loose on planet Earth. Let me just say one thing. In anticipation of that, this is not Satan's finest hour. This is God's day. This is not his finest hour because God is getting ready for the day of the Lord. And is preparing us, and we're getting excited about what God is prevailing to do on planet Earth. A lot of people are upset all over the place. I'm not upset by what God is doing to kind of take some barriers down. But anyway, look up at that scripture up there. It says, except when there be no poor among you. For the Lord will greatly bless you in the land. So when you begin to look at that passage in Deuteronomy 15, there's another translation in the New King James that says, however, there should be no poor among you. If you only obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow the commands, a command is not a suggestion. Amen? It's not a suggestion. A command is a command. I want to hear God's command. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. That's all part of it as well. But when God says to do something, we say, yes, Lord, how high, how low, how wide, how far do I need to go? God's commands are his commands. And he expects that from us. Well, now, when we look at God's commands, it goes on and it says, you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. And then it says right after that, if there is a poor person among you, brothers, among your brothers in any of the towns, do not be hard-hearted. Unfortunately, that's a condition that many, many people, even inside the church, become familiar with. We become hard-hearted. Let's face up to reality. Sometimes we get overwhelmed, and then we do get hard-hearted. But I'm going to give you some suggestions to help you along the way today, because it says, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. I want to give you an illustration. There is a legendary king. He might have existed, he might not have. But his name was King Midas. He spent a lot of time counting his money and hoarding it up and keeping it in a certain place. And he was doing everything in his power to kind of be the veritable picture of what we call at Christmas time the Ebenezer Scrooges, holding everything back instead of distributing and sharing. And that kind of a picture is what God is coming after here. In all of our hearts, God says there should be no poor among us. Now, let's face up to the reality, folks, that there are some people that are going to stay poor no matter what, because they're also living in disobedience. But there's also a fact that God says, I want something from the heart of God that says that there's something that we need to pour out from within the body of Christ that has compassion. And let's go a little step further. Because it says in verse 11, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you not to be tight-fisted, but to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and the needy in your land. No more poverty. No more poverty. Well, let me just dig up something here. Did I leave my notes over there, Brother Donnie? No, I didn't leave my notes there. I must have put them in another part of this. My notes are all gone. How do you like that for size? It's like the strings that break. Can you give me that one? Thanks. Thanks, Johan. I did back it up. All right. I want you to turn in your Bibles quickly to a passage in the New Testament, Acts chapter 2. And just keep it there for a moment, because I want you to hear a song. I want you to listen to a song. There's a group that came out here to South Africa some years ago. They were called Higher Ground. And that group is a trio that really made a huge impact when they came out here from the United States. But this group sing a song called Something This Is That. And I want you to listen to the first verse in particular. Can we pull it up quickly and just listen to This Is That? This is that. And then they begin to move into some other dimensions there. Now, when we start talking about the day of Pentecost, this is that. The day of Pentecost was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and all kinds of great things began to happen on that day. It was a mighty, mighty powerful move of God that the world had never seen before, and God began to open up all kinds of things. But by the time we get to the end of Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 and 45, it says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. This is that which was spoken. I mean, the prophet Joel prophesied there was going to be a move of the Holy Spirit. Something began to happen. Oftentimes, we will talk about a move of God that will happen in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about man will prophesy, man will speak in tongues, they will exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there'll be healings, there'll be mighty miracles. And then we come to this. They sold their possessions of goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. Do you understand why God says no more poverty? Because it starts in the body of Christ. Listen, folks, it starts in the body of Christ. Something says that when we get to the book of Galatians, it says this: do good unto all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. It starts among the body of Christ. Why is it that so often that which is false has got a sense of the body attached to it? Because they've learned something that the body of Christ needs to become more aware of. That there's a world that's sitting out there, but it starts within the body of Christ. We need to get people saved. Now, the way we go about that is to begin to become sensitized to what's going on inside the body so that in turn we can become sensitized to what's going on in the world. Does that make sense? Something about that begins to make an impact. Now, the Bible also talks about, if we go back again, I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26, because it says, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, and we give to him who is good before God. Now it says, this is also vanity and grasping for the wind, but the point is, there's something that God is getting ready to pour out upon the earth. I've discovered this, that if we go to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 8, once again, there's another passage there. One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor. God is beginning to accumulate something that can be poured out to those who are needy amongst us. I've discovered that in another translation it said, the wealth of the heathen is laid up for the righteous. So when we begin to understand that, what will cause the heathen to want to give into that which is in the midst of us, which is the poor? When I look at that, there's several points that come into play. Number one, the world is looking for integrity. It's looking for integrity, a total honesty. But the world is also looking for another thing, which is responsibility. People that will show that whatever is given is going to be properly dispensed with. And then there's a third thing, and that is called accountability. They're looking for people that will make sure that they're not slipping up in what is accountable and what is necessary with everything that is given. They want to make sure that there's accountability attached to it. And fourthly, they also want to see a track record of people that are out there making a difference. I'll never forget, after we'd been here for about 4 years, a couple in this city came up to Philip and Morena, and they said, we've got to have a little chat with you. And we said, well, we'd be happy to do that. And they began to say, well, we've looked at what you're doing in the city. We want to get behind you. Furthermore, we've also investigated you. How do you like it when people come up to you and you don't even know who they are, but they know who you are? All right? They know who you are. They've seen what you're doing. They've checked your background. They've gone to the government authorities. Okay? They have checked into the different departments to check and see if there is total integrity, responsibility, accountability, and success. And this couple came back to us and they said, you know, you were recommended by one of the top government department officials to be able to give support because we know it's not going to be wasted. Is that a tribute? Is that a testimony? Because that's what the world is looking for. They want to know that they're not going to be taken advantage of. I'm not going to go around and tell people that have lots of money in life, listen here, I'm going to kick you until you give up your riches. You can't get money out of people that way. You got to try to persuade them to give into what is going on in the community. Well, I want to go on to another passage here, because in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 26, it says these words, but people who obey God are always generous. Amen? People who obey God are always generous, but the righteous give and do not spare. Well, I remember we used to, as we were growing up, my mother had a wonderful way of showing her largeness of heart by baking extra this and making extra that and finding ways to bless the kids in the neighborhood. She was always generous, always generous. And my dad was in the same mode. And when we used to live by a railway track, and these guys that would get on the trains would get off, they knew where our house was. And my dad always had a supply of sardines for anybody that stopped at our doors. We used to say, Dad, just make sure that you don't open it up and leave it in the fridge before you give it out to them, because it'll stink up the refrigerator. But he used to store up all of these different things. He did not spare. When somebody came to the door, he had a can of sardines waiting for them, and he said, God bless you, go on your way. I'm trying to help in whatever way I can. There was always something about that. When I look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, I want to read that passage as well. Let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Okay, can I just make a word here about being a little bit too open? Because I'm not saying to go out there and go running all over the place and giving to everybody that comes up to you. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is to qualify. When we begin to see people that are in need, let's begin to start in the body of Christ. Find out who amongst you is not saying what they're going through. Okay? Listen to them. Start there. See what's going on in the household of faith. And then begin to proceed from that, to start a movement. I read about Yonggi Cho's church in Korea, the largest church in the world. And, you know, it may be the largest church in the world, but it's the smallest church in the world as well. Why do I say that? Because every person inside the church is accounted for, and everybody is finding ways to assist one another in the midst of their dilemmas of life. In fact, they don't have a thing called joblessness inside the church, because they're always out looking for jobs for people that have necessity. It's an amazing thing that happens there. But that is why they have such a sense of blessing. But they also have what they call a prayer tower, where there's prayer going 24 hours a day. So there's always these aspects coming up as well. I want to give you just a few principles as we look towards adopting what I would call a policy of no more poverty. When we begin to look at where we have come from on this particular point. Point number one is this. We must never forget about Jesus' heart for the children that was in the places wherever he was at. Never forget about Jesus' heart for the kids. Never forget it. When I look at, came in here today and saw the children running all over the place and having such a ball and just enjoying themselves and abandoning themselves and raising up these banners all over the place, doesn't that do something to your heart? Doesn't that hit something inside of us when you see these children that are being raised in the ways of God? There's something about the tender heart of God that says children must be given priority. Children must be given priority. I'm not saying that everybody else should be neglected, but we need to strongly prioritize what is going on with our children. So when Life Community Services started in the community, it was geared specifically for children. For the children, so that they would not get to the streets, so they would not have to go out and be begging all over the place. I know we've got hundreds of kids that are sitting out on the streets of George all the time, and I think that KidStop is doing a great job in trying to deal with those that are on the street. But we have a responsibility to go after the younger generation to make sure that they don't get to the streets, that they become something and we pour something into their lives. I hear this over and over again. When we train the kids in the ways of God from an early age, I mean from 2 years old, even younger than that, the children are trained in the ways of God. When they get to the school where they go into primary school, the principals come back and always say, the Life kids are the smartest kids around. I'm looking at Natasha. That's a smart kid sitting there. I mean, Natasha has been watched over very carefully. I mean, I used to drive her to school every day. Many years ago, when she was a lot smaller than she is right now. And I'm looking at her and I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for the rescue operation. And now she's sitting at Glenwood School. That's amazing. But somewhere along the way, when you put your hand upon the children's lives, God begins to do something very, very astounding. And so I saw something as I was preparing from Abraham Lincoln. He said, in the Gettysburg Address, in fact, the Gettysburg Address that he gave in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, was a speech that could not have lasted longer than 3 minutes. 3 minutes. But he said these words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, there's a point that I want to make there. There is something else which must be declared as self-evident also. Namely, that all children are worthy of being given love, dignity, and respect. All children are worthy to receive it. Jesus never, ever turned any children away. If we're going to deal with poverty, the good beginning point is children. Because when we raise up children in the ways of God, God begins to deal with them in powerful ways. Secondly, if we're going to deal and have no more poverty, we need to establish a presence in the marketplace. I remember when we started going out, and when I first came to this city, we had a lot of detractors because people were skeptical. They said, we've seen all these fly-by-night groups coming into the city, and we don't trust them because they go out there and we give them this and we give them that, and then they abuse it. So we had to get over a whole bunch of skepticism in the community. And it was not an easy job, I can tell you. It wasn't easy. One of our first volunteers was this man sitting here in the front row, Donnie Furie. And I tell you what, this man, as soon as we started getting into the kids, he was there giving credibility to the children of our community. And I honor this man. I honor this man because he was one of the first to step out and begin to get engaged in the children's lives and begin to pour out from his vast knowledge of years as a teacher and begin to do something into the community. And he established a presence in the marketplace. Well, many, many people told us, just go in and take the food and then go out and deliver the word and just leave it at that. We said, no, we can't do that. When the mayor of this city at that time kept telling me, Philip, I can't give you any news about the property at F1101, and I can't do anything about it. And eventually the mayor told me, don't come to my office anymore. I said, fine, that's the way you want it. That's the way it's going to be. And 2 weeks later, the mayor was on the phone, and he says, Philip, come and get the keys. Yes. Hallelujah. Establishing a presence in the community. I'm looking at that property out there. It still doesn't belong to Life, but one day it will belong to Life. One day it's going to be in the name of Life Community Services. It's always been a battleground. But who said that life was going to be easy? It's a battlefield out there, folks. Everything that is worth fighting for is worth contesting, because we know that God has got something in mind and he will prevail to make that become a reality. Establishing a presence in the community. You know, there's a word called praxis. It's a Greek word, and it means a process by which a theory, a lesson, or a skill is transacted. You can't do that by going in and coming out. You've got to have a presence. Something has got to be there to make that become a reality. We've established strong connections. And we're continuing with that. Another point that I want to make. We're going to impact the community towards no more poverty. And there's a third point, and that is we need to pursue the highest of the high for the lowest of the low. We need to pursue it. There are certain things that are still coming to pass. But as I said before, there are many people that want to get involved, including the wealthy. But they need proper stimulation. They need to be provoked to see the work being accomplished. They do not need high-pressure salesmanship. I've discovered something. When you begin to walk in relationship with people with no strings attached to it, God begins to pour out the resources. Have you found that? Just get in relationship. Don't sit there and try to always, what can I get from out of somebody? Just walk in relationship. The highest of the low are the high, so that the lowest of the low can be taken care of. There's another point that I want to make as we come near to the end of this message, and that is this. We need to recognize the importance of having a team. Recognize the importance of a team. Somebody once used a term, an acronym for team. It says, together, everyone achieves or accomplishes more. Together, we can make a vast impact in the community. When we move out together, when 50 or 60 shofar people come and make an impact upon the kids, it makes a huge difference in the community. It says that there is something that is cohesively coming forward and can make a vast amount of difference, but it requires a certain kind of a disposition that says that we're going to approach life from a different kind of a perspective that doesn't come from the top down, but from the bottom up. I want to show you an illustration up on the board, because that's a symbol of a company that I've started called Life Enterprises. Life Enterprises is looking at the kids that we've raised from down here and are now up here and are getting ready to matriculate and are going out into the world, into a world where there's pretty close to 40% plus unemployment in the city of George. That's pretty scary when you think about it. And so what we're looking at is to take a band of people that are not so much kind of in a place where they're saying, let's have this group come together and let's just find all of our stuff that we can give to the people that are down on the ground, but rather come under, which is what the symbols of the pyramid under the ground are all about, and come underneath that and lift up those who are fallen in the community and begin to take them as servants of the Most High God and begin to serve them and share with them from our hearts. Somebody once made a statement, you qualify to be first by putting other people first. You're in charge principally to charge up others. Just want to share these things with you today. What has God called me to be in this community? To give rise, to give assistance to those who are walking in the elements of this world, and to give assistance across the board to everyone who is crying out that they want to see the hand of God. I was raised in a place where basketball was the dominant sport. When I came in here this morning, I heard everybody talking about Bafana Bafana. They won yesterday. The Springboks, let's not say it. The Proteas, hanging in there. Well, where I was raised, there was a lot of, there was a great emphasis upon basketball, baseball, football, you name it. But I can remember my favorite game was basketball, and I can never forget. You always had your superstars, but then you had the others that were not considered the superstars, but were considered the assist people. They weren't out there making a lot of points, but they were helping others get to where they needed to go. They called them the assist leaders. So we had the Bob Cousys with the Boston Celtics, and we had the Magic Johnsons from the Los Angeles Lakers, and these guys were the assist leaders because they were always looking to how they could give a hand, a helping hand, to help their team get to the top. The assist leaders. Servants. Their job was to make sure that they could distribute everything around so that there could be a real sense of camaraderie and team spirit. That there was nobody that was attracting the show, but that everybody was in a team spirit. So there was always that look to distribute. When we began to look at the development from Park Dean and Borchards and Pockelstorp into Tembeletu, I will never forget. Many, many people from Tembeletu were coming to us and saying, when are you going to come and open up over here and do something in Tembeletu? And we said, first of all, it's relationship. We're going to build relationships. So we started to build relationships in Tembeletu. And then we began to move into Tembeletu to start putting up centers of care in that place. But I'll never forget the one day. A prominent man from America came across to our first center that we built in Tembeletu. And I cannot forget the look on that man's face when he came walking into this place, and there was Morena, my wife, on one side of the building, and there was Sally on the other side, on the other end of the building that we had constructed over there. And what happened from there was that they were holding these babies in their arms. Now, I don't want to go into describing what those babies looked like, because it wasn't pretty. They didn't smell good. They didn't look good. But Morena and Sally were sitting on the ground, taking these babies in their arms, cleaning them up, and trying to just assist them to become a little better off in that place. And that made such an impression upon this high and mighty man that came from America to see this, because the point was is that nobody is so high that you can't go down and get dirty. Amen? Nobody's so high. All of us need to get in the dirt somehow. We need to get in there where it isn't all the high in the sky and all of the glory and all of the plaudits and all of the honors. We just have to stay in the dirt. Staying in the dirt. That's what ministry is all about. It's go down to where the people are at. It's not very pretty down there. For all of us. Didn't God do that for us? Didn't he come down and accept us in our sinful estate? Did he not come and say, I love you no matter what it's like? Didn't he come and hang himself on a cross and say, I'm going to die for the sins of the world? I don't have to come and get anything sorted out. I have to accept that Jesus did that for me in my estate. And guess what? As the body of Christ, we need to be in that same place. That we go down to where the people are at, into the places no matter what they've done, no matter where they've gone, no matter what kind of sins have been exposed to. We just need to get there and identify and say, Jesus has got a plan. Jesus has a purpose. Jesus wants to lift up. We've got to get down and dirty. That's what it's all about. And finally, I wrote something down here. How big you are in your heart is dependent on how small you become in your own eyes. Can I tell you something? Never conceive of yourself in any other way than being the servant of all. I don't need titles. To me, Amo is Amo. I'm Philip. But the characteristic of who I am, that characteristic must always be that I'm the servant. How many times in Scripture do you see Paul describing himself in different ways? And primarily, he said the servant of Jesus Christ. The servant. Going into that place where we can begin to identify to the lost and the dying, where we can identify to those that are the least amongst us. Here's my challenge today. My challenge is, how many of you want to break a certain barrier in your life? How many people have walked up to me? Amo told me I need to take just a few minutes to just make an appeal. And my appeal is this. Over the years, people have said these words to me, Philip, rather you than me. Rather you than me doing what we're doing in the community. I think it's time that the church as a whole began to say, what can I do? How can I get dirty? In what way can I come alongside an orphan, of which there's pretty close to 35% of the kids we're dealing with on a day-by-day basis are either child-headed or child-run families? 35%. There's a lot of mentoring that needs to be done in the body of Christ. And there's a challenge out there with what's happening with life and what's happening in our city. Are you willing to get down and get dirty? Are you willing to just take an hour, a week, or even an hour a month? But just something that says I need to just pursue something and just see what God does to make it grow. I'm looking at a beautiful giant that I watched one man mentored, and one of these days that giant is going to be out here in South Africa on a missions trip. But one man identified to that young guy in the United States of America, and today he has a master's degree from Harvard University. And he's out there making an impact in the world all over the place. You see, it's mentoring, it's willingness, it's a heart that comes after and pursues after that, which will make an impression in our community. And that's my challenge to you right now. And I want us to just pray quickly, shall we? Father, we came here this morning expecting that there would be a magnetism that would take us into a higher place and a better place in you. We also came with the expectation that we will become more proactive in our community, with the anticipation, Lord, that you will stretch us out, that you will bring us into a place, blessed Redeemer, where we can move in faith and be ready, Lord, to even go beyond certain barriers that we've erected that would be, that would say, so far and no further. Lord, we want to get rid of all barriers. We want you, Lord Jesus, to come and grip our hearts. And for this, we will thank you in anticipation that you will take this shofar Christian church and bring this church up to a much higher place as we identify to the lowest of the low among us. Lord Jesus, we see what you're doing. We get engaged, Lord, not just because of what we want to see people become, but also because of where we don't want them to become as well. And so we pray, Father, that you will take us now and take the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, and let them be acceptable in your sight. I just want to give thanks and praise, Lord God, that you will do that in the midst of us. We lay our lives in front of you right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If God has spoken to you in some way through this message, just raise your hand high, and in whatever way, and just if there's an acknowledgement that God has spoken to you in certain ways, just do that right now, and leave those hands straight up. God is observing what is happening in this place today. And I haven't said everything that I would like to say, but you know what God is saying to you specifically. And I'm just asking God right now as we bow before the throne of the Lord that you will take every person with their hand raised now and empower them from on high to be able to take simple, beautiful, intricate, and deliberate steps of obedience before the throne of God. And I just want to thank you that we can take a large answer to this right now in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus, name above every other name of which every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.